Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, please visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. And by ProXPN. ProXPN is a virtual private network that allows you to use the internet the way it should be, anonymously and without oversight. For 20% off your new account, go to ProXPN.com/TWiT and use the code HN20. This is Ham Nation, episode number 111, August 21st, 2013. Gordo begins teaching the instructors.
Hello, everybody, from the Ozarks. This is K9EID, and this is Ham Nation. And I want to start this off with a little recording I did just a few minutes ago.
Hey, good evening, Bob. K9EID, HK3 Charlie in Bogota, Colombia. Whoa. And good evening, Ham Nation from Bogota, 2.9 kilometers above sea level. But a big hello and a special hello to that smiley guy out west. Hello, Gordo. I hope you guys have a wonderful show. And know that as I speak, I'm looking forward to listening to you guys just, in about 45 minutes or so. Back to you, Bob, K9EID, HK3 Charlie.
Wow. Had such a good time working things this week, I have to tell you. Gordo, did you copy your friend John real well?
I did. He was coming through just great, Bob, and good to have such international stars tuning in.
Well, I have to tell everybody what happened to me this week, and it's really been fun. I've had over here in the corner, I've had a little TS-480, oh golly, for years. When we had our home in California, I had that set up as a remote. When it first came out, Kenwood wanted to test it and see how it worked remotely, so I hooked it up. Well, I'd never had a microphone in that radio, ever. And when we left California, it went in a box. Sunday, I'm looking around in the garage. It moved over to the Ozarks, and I go, let's see what happens. Got to have two power supplies for it now and get it all hooked up, because it's a 200-watt version. I have been on that thing all week, Gordo, since Sunday. I've had more fun. It's barefoot. It's just great, and I love it. And the story is the fact that so many guys that I hear from, they're new to this hobby, and they're going, wow, I got to buy all this. And no, you don't. You don't need amplifiers. You don't need all this stuff. You just need to get on the air. And there's case in point. I had so much fun with that little rig this week. And I haven't had the amplifiers on. I haven't had any of the big radios going much. I've just had a lot of fun. And Gordo, I know you relate to that, where we have a lot of fun just digging in and getting on the air, right?
Oh, we sure do, Bob. And if I can, I'm going to go ahead with an interesting part of the show. And the interesting part of the show will be those of you that are tuned in, listening in, that are part of our Elmers, part of our teachers, to get more folks on the air. So, Brian, if you're ready with the shots, let's go ahead and roll it, because what we're going to talk about tonight is becoming a ham radio instructor, and there's no cost to the instructor program that we're going to be telling you about. Now, there's Don getting his vehicle all shined up. And Don, we are glad that you're one of our Elmers, one of our teachers.
Wow, thanks.
And as you can tell, what we try and do in our instructor newsletter, as well as a free guide that we're going to give everybody tonight, just by going to a certain webpage, we're going to tell you how to score name tags and ribbons so everybody in your class looks like well-dressed students. And there it is, haminstructor.com. We have capabilities of giving you either a paper one, or you can download it, the Ham Instructor Guidelines for Technician, General, and Extra Class. Remember, technician class changes very shortly. Well, it's very important about how the classroom is set up, and we give you all the tidbits in our instructor's guide. This is a free book, that you can download, and we'll give you all the instructions. Coming with the books, if you bring in books, will be the free materials from manufacturers who really support instructors. We got band charts. No, the cat doesn't come with it, but we've got league material, band charts, band plans, world maps, all from fellow manufacturers. And we always encourage all of you to have a table laid out with all your stuff, because nothing beats a ham class where students come in and see the stuff. And in our instructor guide that's free to you tonight, we tell you all the neat stuff that you can amass to keep the students on the edge of their seat. Now, Don, there's my Gordo rig, and I tried to get it shined up almost as pretty as yours when we were down there feeding the alligators marshmallows.
Sweet ride.
And we encourage instructors to bring in fellow instructors. This is Pastor Jason Gant, W6AUX. He did a fabulous job of showing students how to download materials for their handhelds or mobile radios so they don't have to laboriously put in all of the different frequencies. So having a computer handy is a great way. It shows the kids in the class that we're not old-fashioned and can't do it the new way. Whether you're teaching extra class, we've got a free book for you for extra class instructors. We have free books for general class as well as for technician class. And these are the Elmer Hem Instructor free books that I'm talking about for extra class. Get down there to board level. George will appreciate that. And in our recent seminars that we did on the Hem Instructor program, everybody was excited to sign up, get that free patch, and a lot of the information that comes with it, including my exclusive newsletter. You're talking about voltage in class? Show them voltage. And here we got voltmeters and ammeters and so on. And this is the package that we can send out to you. You can either download it, and once you start bringing in the books, we have a DVD that has PowerPoint for all three levels. Absolutely free to those instructors actively teaching a class. If you're talking about antennas, give them a far away look of antenna traps and then go into more detail and talk about the insides, which I'll show you shortly. Our mission is to get more kids into ham radio, and we tell you how in the instructor book. Oh, yeah, there are the traps. And a few moments later, we'll show you what's inside the trap. Now, we also talk about how to lay out the classroom. If you've got plenty of room and not too many students, one-way seating is fine. But we'll give you an option for two-way seating in a short moment. Here's the inside of that trap antenna. Now let's take a look and see what it looks like to have seating on both sides of the table in our instructor book that you can download at haminstructor.com. We show you how to set up the classroom for dual seating, making good use of both sides of the table you'll be teaching on the end. But wait a minute, that table is lacking a table cover. We'll show you how nice it looks once we have it. There's Don, KE6BXT, and he's our ATV guy, and he's having a digital ATV QSO party next week, August 30th, and we'll give you details. But let me tell you, for a classroom demo, this is a fun demo to get started. Thanks, Don, for all your help. Whether you're in a tight situation, as we are here, students on each side of the classroom can get packed in if you do your work right. CW, we encourage all of you to teach a little bit of CW. You'll find that the kids will take up the CW very rapidly, and it's a great demo. Have that demo gear up front. Dress well as a instructor, because the students are looking at you as an example of ham radio. So you can wear shorts, but dress up. And, of course, bring those vehicles. Don will dust off his, mine too. And there you go. That's the comm band that we take around for some of the different classes. Oh, there's a great vehicle in Southern California. We want you to know, folks, that we are going green.
I think I can outrun that one, Gordon. I think I can outrun him with a Trans Am.
There you go. In our instructor book that we can send you, or you can download tonight, it's absolutely free. We even give you a layout of a suggested class advertising that you can put up at the ham stores. Ham stores love instructors because we bring them business and we get more hams on the air. And look at the free stuff that we get from manufacturers. We'll tell you how to score it or how to get it directly from the W5YI group with your first book order. So lots of neat things for instructors, but have that table full of stuff because students love to look at the stuff. And be sure and have a good selection of handheld radios, because we always recommend a dual band handheld to get students started on the air. And we recommend get it pre-programmed. We recommend outside activities so it's not just all shop talk in the classroom. Here we are ready to put up an antenna, and the students will help out. Your students should get a graduation certificate, and we actually send some along once you've got your class set up and you start bringing in our instructor materials just for you, our valued Club Elmers and Scout leaders working as ham radio instructors. And again, you can teach classes almost anywhere. Here we are in the back of our house doing an outside class, and it was a big success. Take a look again, though. We've got students on both sides of the tables. Nice little tablecloth. And it was a fun class for 2 days, not too warm in Southern California. Of course, have those portable radio demos. And look, there's the CW Keir. Every ham class, whether it's no code or fun code, we always give them a little bit of CW. The band charts we also supply to those instructors bringing in our training materials. It's a two-sided chart. This one, Kenwood helps us put together, and it's also published by Radio School and Master Publishing and the W5YI Group. Laminated as well. Real nice band operating chart. And in my instructor book, we talk all about how to set up those demos and how to stay on course with teaching a class. Remember, technician class rotates next year. We have a lot more gizmos that we like to show off. There are those Yaesu maps. We do a little bit of direction finding, but have a lot of stuff because during the breaks, students will want to come up and look at the stuff rather than just talk about it. And, of course, talk about the 10-meter band and the 6-meter band. Eric up in Alaska, who's working with me with ham radio books, he and I agree that there's plenty of activity on 10 meters for the brand-new tech to get started from 28 to 28.5, 28.3 to 28.5 for voice. So think about 10-meter skywave skip to keep the class really excited as a technician class operator. And more on the class demo stuff. Look at that. What does that make you just want to go up there and look at every one of those little gizmos? That was one of our outside classes. And in our book that we give you free of charge for those of you registering at www.haminstructor.com, we even give you homework to give the students ahead of time. You might email it to them ahead of time. And that way, when you teach a class, they don't come in stone cold. They will have read the book, and it'll be much easier for you to teach all about the band plans and the sub bands for different classes of operation. And there's your tech sub band, 200 watts CW on the 15 meter band. Yeah, that'll get them going. Have a lot of current handhelds. There's the ICOM D-Star, and we always enjoy using ICOM D-Star equipment to get the students tuned into modern radio, not just old clunker radio. And let's see, Don, you know what that is? George may know. That's an optical shaft encoder. Again, these are the suggestions we give you in the book, and we even tell you where you can get some of these parts. And there's our volts and amps out of this free book that we give you by signing up tonight at haminstructor.com. But more important, actually getting involved in teaching a ham class. And for those of you that are scout leaders, if you teach the radio merit badge, did you realize that many of our training materials parallel the radio merit badge? And we give you page by page, chapter by chapter, how to use the free instructor's book with teaching the radio merit badge, and most important, getting them into ham radio, because they're kids. They are our future. So let's really place emphasis on kids. And have, of course, those strange antennas. You might even try an antenna kit, as this one was. Have QSL cards. Kids are always interested in those. And look, there's a really old one from W1AW back in the 40s. Didn't know they had radio. Yes, they had radio back then. And, of course, amateur television. We're going from analog to digital. Don will be talking about that week after next. And we hope to have Don on maybe next week in the background showing digital ATV. But have an ATV demo as part of the class, and we give you in our instruction book hints on ATV, digital and analog. There's our push for getting more kids in the CW. And, of course, outside demos bring a lot of test equipment. There's one of the SWR analyzers. And that car looks pretty cleaned up. Hey, Don, they did a pretty good job. And then for testing time, bring in examiners that won't intimidate the students, but those examiners that know their stuff and know how to conduct an exam and make everyone feel good and won't be standing over them as the test is underway. Here we're actually doing exams out at Quartzsite, Arizona. Pretty neat deal out there with these great examiners. And again, bring in the experts. There's Chip doing, looks like voice. Pile headset on a good piece of equipment. Cover the repeater directories because many of your new students will be starting up. And there's a great scout. He is an Eagle Scout. That's Kevin Geis, and that's Pastor Jason in the blue behind him. Kevin is very active on the air, Eagle Scout, and Kevin has gone all the way to the top with extra class using ham radio. Let him literally work the world. So there's no limitation for what ham radio can do. And, of course, those outside demos, kids love them. And that's what we need to teach is how to get more kids into ham radio. So when you graduate your class, most important, more than a certificate, you want to make sure that they get on the air. Suggest a dual band radio, and we'll carry on. And remember, I come as part of the instructor program. So I'm hoping all of you will log on to the www.haminstructor.com webpage, and I'll be right there with you to help you pull off that first class or your general class or even help with extra class, because I can come on via Skype and be right there in the classroom. So tonight, if you get a chance and you teach classes or are thinking of it, go to www.haminstructor.com, register for free, and I'll be looking to be working with you, Club Elmer Scout leaders and school teachers and motivators and Toastmaster types, to get more kids and more folks into ham radio with our brand new instructor program, because that's what I'm teaching now, is teach the teachers how to teach ham radio, and I'm learning from them as well. So, Bob, back to you, and I hope you enjoyed the short shots.
All right, super duper. Well, we need more teachers. We need good teachers, and who better but you to help the teachers? Well, we want to acknowledge a couple of things. As I said, I've been on the air a lot this week, and I got a really nice letter from Dan, K3PAW. Dan, he'd wanted to be a ham for a long time, and he found Ham Nation in 2012, and he's gone all the way to the top. He just got his extra. And thanks for sending all the information about how Ham Nation helped you, Dan. That's really great. And we're really excited about all the guys that are getting their license, guys and gals, because of the show. So we want to go back down to Don. He's got something to tell you about Pro XPN. What you got going, Don?
I do, as a matter of fact. And thanks a lot. You know, the nice thing, I will say this about Gordon. You know, the nice thing about having that 78 Trans Am is that I'm never late for a class. Hey, more than ever, you know, your online freedom and privacy are under threat. Governments and ISPs, they want to control everything about what you can see and can't see on the internet and keep a record of everything you do. Plus, you know, that free Wi-Fi that you get at the coffee place, the hotel, the airport, it puts you at risk because your passwords and your sensitive data can all be intercepted a lot easier than you think. There's a product called ProXPN. It's a global VPN. That's a virtual private network. You probably have a VPN at your work. Well, this is your own VPN, and it works with almost any internet connection. It gives you a secure encrypted tunnel through which all of your online data passes back and forth. Any online application can work with ProXPN, including your web browser, your email, file sharing, instant messaging. ProXPN keeps everything you do online hidden from prying eyes. It disguises your physical location and gives you unfettered access to any website or online service you want, no matter where you live or travel to. It gives you complete privacy through a 512-bit encryption tunnel. Works via OpenVPN or PPTP, you choose. You protect yourself against ISP's six strikes rule. You also get bypass internet filtering and blocked websites. You don't have to worry about that. Bypass the geographical restrictions for internet content and online video with worldwide servers in the U.S., the U.K., Asia, and more. ProXPN software for Windows and Mac offers advanced controls. That lets you select the programs and ports you want to anonymously route through through ProXPN servers. It also works with your iOS or your Android device, so it's agnostic that way, allowing you to use your data plan or public corporate Wi-Fi with complete and total privacy on the go, and that's what it's all about. World-class customer support, too, if you ever have a problem with it. And Steve Gibson, who is a huge security, internet security software expert or security expert, gave it a great review on Security Now. So here's what you want to do. Go to proxpn.com/twit. Find out more information and sign up. ProXPN premium accounts are normally $9.95 a month. That's $74.95 for a whole year. But here's a special offer. You use the code HN20, as in Ham Nation 20. Use the code HN20. You receive 20% off, not just for the first month. No, for the lifetime of your account. That makes it less than $5 a month on the yearly plan. And if you're not satisfied, you cancel within 7 days for a full refund. Again, it's proxpn.com/twit. Sign up with the code HN20 because your online security is priceless. And we thank ProXPN for their support of Ham Nation. Now let's go down towards the Yellow Brick Road and see what's happening with Dale. Dale, how are you tonight, sir?
Hey, we're doing pretty good, Don. Thank you very much. Got a couple of treats tonight here. Before we jump into the video and finish up George's tutorial on building the Yagi, I'd like to play a short 34-second video from Bob Harder. He's Whiskey Zero Bravo Hotel and just happens to be coordinator of the 2013 Kansas QSO party this weekend. I didn't really realize how big a deal it is, but I guess the Kansas QSO party is the fifth in the country now. And we'd like to let Bob tell you about it. So, Brian, if you could roll that little short video.
Hotel, and I'm the coordinator for the 2013 Kansas QSO party, which is this weekend, August 24th and 25th. This year we have about 40 operators with one-by-one call signs, including 13 mobiles. We're covering all 105 counties, both CW and sideband. And you can use the one-by-one calls to spell Kansas, Sunflower, and QSO Party to earn certificates, antique amateur radio stamps, plaques, and gift certificates. Check ksqsoparty.org for details, and then come visit Kansas by radio.
Okay, that was Bob, the coordinator of the Kansas QSO party. By the way, we'll be operating as Whiskey Zero Uniform over the weekend to help you spell out Sunflower. That'll do that. Let's jump right into the videos for tonight. We've got the final installment from George Huffman, KD4MXA, building that 6-meter Yagi. And tonight, he's going to show you how to install and test the antenna. So, Brian, let's roll it.
Hello, everyone. George here, KD4MXA. Over the last two videos, I tried to show how I plan and build some of my smaller beam antennas. The only difference in the way I build them, it may be it a 10-meter or the smaller 70-centimeter, is usually the boom material and the element diameter. You don't necessarily need an 1/8-inch thick, 1.5-inch square boom for an antenna that has only got 1-foot elements. But all of the techniques shown in building the antenna hold true, no matter what size of the antenna you are building. Now that we have gotten our antenna built, it is time to throw it in the air and test it and see how well it performs and what adjustments need to be made. I built this 20-foot test tower out of 3/4-inch EMT conduit and allows me to put smaller antennas up for testing. Normally, you only have to lift the antenna a few feet off the ground in a vertical position to get a good initial reading, but I usually just go ahead and put it up on this tower. This antenna measures almost 15 feet long and is just about all I can handle by myself. If you do not feel comfortable testing by yourself, please get some help. A simple call to on a local repeater or a quick text message will usually get some help fairly quick. After we have the antenna in the air, we will attach our antenna analyzer and see how close we came to hitting our target frequency of 50.150. Looks like ours is 50.450, so our loop is a little too short. We will lower the antenna and make the loop section larger. We will do this by removing the black tape that is temporarily holding the elements in place and sliding it out 1/8 inch on both sides of the loop at a time. Then we will raise the tower and get another reading. It will take a few tries, but the time spent now will make for a better performing antenna later. Once I get the antenna tuned where I want it, I will remove all of the black tape and rivet the elements in place, I will also add a piece of heat shrink tubing over the rivet. I will also remove the temporary coax used to test the antenna and install a new coax from the shack to the antenna. At this point, we need to make the balun for the antenna. Justin's website has a lot of information on baluns, and the simplest one to build for me is the antenna balun listed on his website. It is simply a quarter wavelength piece of tubing. Our target frequency for this antenna is 50.150, so the wavelength of that frequency is 235.45363 inches, so a quarter wavelength would be 58.8634075 inches, but for us normal tape measure reading people, we will call it 58 and 7/8. We will take a piece of 3/8 inch tubing and mount it in a vise and bend it down to a 90 degree angle. Then we will hammer that in flat so we can drill a hole in it. This end will mount onto the inner coax feed point. From that angle, we will measure 58 and 7/8 and mark it very well. Now we need to make that end look like the other end, more or less. It isn't important how it looks as long as it does not touch any of the elements along the antenna. Just make sure you don't lose that mark, as it is the hole position that needs to be drilled to be able to mount it onto the boom. In addition to this, we will also add a coax choke balun. I usually grab a piece of 3 or 4 inch PVC and wind a few turns onto it and use tie straps to hold it all in place. Now let's look back and see how much this antenna cost us to make. The half inch tubing was $24.90. I originally said we needed 6 pieces of 3/8 inch tubing, but I forgot about the antenna balun, so we need 7 pieces, and that comes to $20.65. The boom material came to $44.38, and the element clamps were $28. Miscellaneous hardware came to about $30 for a grand total of $147.93. Not bad, plus you have the satisfaction of saying you made a very professional looking antenna. If you do not have the time and are interested in just buying one of these antennas, have a look at Innov Antennas. I believe Justin sells one very similar to this. I hope y'all have enjoyed watching me build this antenna as much as I did showing you how to build it. There are so many aspects of ham radio, whether it's rag chewing, contesting, electronics, digital, microwave, antenna building, the list is endless. Get out there and enjoy the hobby. Build something. Call CQ. The world is listening. The world is listening. The world is listening. This is George, KD4MXA, 73.
Oh, that was great.
Okay, George. Thank you very much. That was an outstanding video series showing everyone how to build a 6-meter Yagi, not from the theoretical side, but from the practical mechanical side. We thought it was fantastic. Got a lot of good comments on the post-show net about George's videos. So keep them coming, George. That's fantastic. We have already posted a link to the first two installments of George's 6-meter Yagi series on www.hamnationvideos.info. Dan in I9LVS is doing a great job with the site for us. And we had more than 1,400 views the first week the site was on the air.
Wow.
We're going to wrap up the video section here now with a video from FIRST. It was submitted by Dave, VE300I. FIRST is a nonprofit organization that promotes science and engineering to youth around the world. Dave's team's project was to build a robot that could be used to deploy amateur radio antennas during an emergency. That's amazing. Let's watch it now.
And I'm Tatum.
And we are part of the first LEGO League team called Team K9, named after the Doctor Who robotic dog. We would like to talk about this year's competition and how amateur radio operators can assist.
FIRST is an organization that encourages kids to learn about science and engineering through robotic competitions held each year.
FIRST has several programs for youth. Our team competes at the FLL level. Our team is composed of 5 kids aged 10 to 14. The FRC team is for older high school kids.
The competition is composed of 2 parts, a robotic game where robots built from LEGO compete autonomous tasks for points on a playing field. There's also a research project that each team presents to judges, like a science fair project.
Each year, the research project is based on a theme. This year's theme is about developing solutions for adverse weather events.
Our coach, Eric, KC2TXO, attended the 2013 Dayton Youth Forum and found a first FRC team that had an innovative solution for setting up antennas during emergencies. This is the type of innovation that FIRST wants to see teams develop.
Tyler is the first team member to get his amateur radio license. He got his license in July 2013 with both VHF and HF privileges. He is hoping to participate in one of the Ham Nation HF Nets.
The Peel Amateur Radio Club is helping us with our project. Our coach, Dave, VE3WI, has asked his local club to provide education seminars at various FLL provincial functions to spread the word about the role of amateur radio during or after adverse weather events. We are asking that other hams and their clubs to do the same and encourage FLL youth to consider an amateur radio-based research project. I'm also starting to study for my ham radio license, and Tyler and I look forward to talking to you on HF or VHF.
7-3, and back to you.
What a super project from those youngsters. And how do you like the way that robot shimmied up that pole? Wouldn't you like to be able to climb like that, huh? Amazing.
That
and
cool.
Congratulations to Tyler. We heard the other day that he had worked Bill, K5LN, on the 20-meter post-show net. And we hope he'll join us on the 40-meter net on 72-78 here one of these Wednesday evenings after the Ham Nation broadcast. So congratulations again, Tyler. Well, we've got more big news coming up about youth in amateur radio with Don next. But first, let's tell you about next week. We hope to pull all the Show Me Your Shack photos together that we've received during the past 3 or 4 weeks, along with an outstanding video feature that features the Boy Scout Jamboree K2BSA operation. And we're also going to hopefully have a short look at the Kansas State ARRL convention that was held this past Sunday up in Salina. That's it for now. 7-3 from the Yellow Brick Road. It's time now for Newsline. And Don, you've got the con.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Always appreciate the video stuff. Let me tell you a little bit about what I did over the weekend. That was the Huntsville Ham Fest. We've got a little snippet of video of the winner, but let me tell you a little bit about him real quick. His name is Patrick Lissandre, KC9UUS. He just turned 16. His technician license was earned in October 2011, general in December, and extra in 2012. So he went from zero to extra in 3 months. And later he became the president of his school's ham radio club. And over the summertime, he is the head mechanic for his school's solar bike racing team. They competed this summer in Japan. He came home a little bit early from that and went to Brown University and attended a course on the inventions of Nikola Tesla, one of only 20 high school students selected for a workshop on the physics of atomic nuclei, sponsored by the National Superconducting Cyclotron Laboratory at Michigan State University. I can't spell that, much less ever hope to visit it, but here's a little snippet of video from this weekend in Huntsville. Roll that, please. What Patrick Lissandre, KC9UUS, has accomplished in his brief time as a radio amateur makes him a role model for others, no matter what your age, to follow, and is the reason that he has been chosen as the 2013 Young Ham of the Year Award recipient. So, without any further ado, let me present Mr. Lissandre with this plaque. I'll read it for you. Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year awarded to Patrick Lissandre, KC9UUS, in recognition of his dedication to the amateur radio service, presented jointly by Amateur Radio Newsline, Yaesu USA Corporation, and CQ Magazine, Saturday, August 17th, 2013. Patrick, this is for you. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Patrick Lissandre, KC9UUS.
Thanks, Don. Oh, yeah. I'll put this down. There we go. All right, so it's a real honor to receive this award. But I obviously didn't do it alone. Oh, okay. So I have to thank Neil Rapp, WB9PBG, Scott Wright, K0MD, the ARRL Education Fund, and Radio Club of America. Without them, I really couldn't have gotten this far. New Rap is a sponsor of my school club, K9SOU, as well as my chemistry teacher. And he and Scott Wright helped with the nominations, and I thank them profusely. Without them, I really couldn't have gotten this. Thank you very much.
He is quite an impressive young man, and what a cool family, too. His mother is a ham, and she got him actually interested in ham radio through a shortwave listening, and I just had the best time hanging out with him, and so happy to be part of the Young Ham of the Year Award. Well, let's go ahead and get into the news of the week from amateur. Oh, and by the way, thanks to George, W5JDX, for shooting the video for us. We appreciate that, George. Thanks a lot. We'll hear from him a little bit later on in Smoke and Solder. Let's go ahead and get into the news of the week with Newsline. Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1879. These are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, August 21st, 2013, from the studios of 101.1 WNOE New Orleans. A jury has recommended that three Somali pirates be sentenced to life in prison for the 2011 killing of four Americans off the coast of East Africa. Three of those murdered were ham radio operators. Amateur Radio Newsline, Stephen Kenford, N8WB.
Prosecutors had sought the death penalty for Ahmed Musalad, Abukar Osman Bale, and Shani Narani Sheikh Abrar, who were convicted in July. They were among 19 men who hijacked the American's yacht, hoping to ransom them for millions of dollars. The three men allegedly served as an armed guard over the Americans and shot and killed them as the U.S. Navy closed in. Those murdered by the pirates were Scott Adam, K9ESO, his wife Jean, KF6RVB, Bob Riggle, KE7IIV, and Phyllis McKay. They had been on board the yacht SV Quest when the pirates boarded their vessel and took them hostage in February of 2011. At their trial, the three Somalis were found guilty of the 26 counts against them. These included piracy, kidnapping, and murder. Federal Judge Rebecca Beach Smith will formally sentence the men in November in the courtroom in Norfolk, Virginia.
The victims were the first U.S. citizens killed in a wave of pirate attacks that plagued the Gulf of Aden and the Indian Ocean in recent years. United States hams living in developments where they want to keep their anonymity may soon find it hard, if not impossible, to do so because of proposed new rules on RF exposure from the FCC that would remove blanket exemption that currently keeps hams from having to conduct RF radiation studies. Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
Under the proposed new regulations, households where amateur stations operate should be considered to operate under occupational exposure standards. According to the FCC, this could eventually require education for household members and the posting of signs warning of the possibility of exposure to RF. While not the law yet, more about the plans by the FCC to increase the scope of its overall RF exposure standards in all areas of its oversight can be read in an article by noted author Scott Feibusch and published in the trade publication Radio World.
The price of a vanity call sign will be going up in mid-September. This as the FCC announces that the new fee of $16.10 will apply as soon as the new fee schedule appears in the Federal Register. In its report and order released August 12th in docket 13-140, the FCC ordered a sweeping schedule of new fees to be implemented without the normal 30-day period following publication in the Federal Register. This change is because the next fiscal year for the government begins on October 1st, and there would not be enough time for the new fees to become effective on that date if the waiting period were kept in place. And if you own a Chinese-built handheld and have questions that the manual doesn't answer, there's now a new source of information. Calling itself the Radio Documentation Project, this website plans to provide high-quality and in-depth open-source documentation user manuals for mainland China-built handheld two-way radios. Its first completed work is a PDF file containing a well-documented manual for the popular Baofeng UV-5R dual-bander. The instructions are clear and distinct, and best of all, it's available as a free download. To say the instructions are detailed is quite an understatement. The PDF file is 66 pages long and can be had on either a regular print version or one optimized for the iPad. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news brought to you each and every week for 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5-W73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation from the studios of 101.1 WNOE, the home of Country Radio Hall of Famer Eddie Edwards. Eddie, do you have your harp with you?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I
well,
do.
Well, why don't you just right here, let's play me something.
Thank you for asking. And hello, everybody. I would like to perform for you the saddest blues song of all time. This is the saddest blues song of all time. Well, I didn't wake up this morning. Lord, Lord, keep it country.
Wow, that was great.
I want to thank Eddie for letting me come in and hijack his studio for a minute. I didn't have time to do the Ham Nation Newsline stuff on Sunday as I was traveling. So thanks to Eddie. And we may be hearing more from Eddie because he said, man, anytime you need anything, let me know. So we may be hearing more from Eddie. Hey, you know what happens in exactly a month? Well, actually a month minus one day, starting on September 20th. It is the D-Star CUSO party. Yes. Across all of North America. And here's information on that.
ICOM America and ICOM Canada are teaming up to offer ham radio operators some incredible savings. With the D-Star CUSO party just around the corner, you can get a great deal on a D-Star repeater direct from ICOM and help expand D-Star across North America. For a limited time, ICOM is offering two direct buy promotions for D-Star enthusiasts in the U.S. and Canada. Purchase a D-Star repeater through the D-Star infrastructure program. The growth of D-Star over the past 4 years has been incredible with the release of the ID-51A and the IC-7100. More people are getting on the air with this incredible mode. In response to the request to make the infrastructure more affordable, ICOM America and ICOM Canada are teaming up to expand the number of repeaters. And now through September 30th of 2013, IC7100 operators can get CS7100 cloning software at a discounted price with shipping and handling fees included. Visit ICOM America's website and click on the Buy Direct banners in the Amateur section. Look for the D-Star or CS7100 offers for complete details and instructions. Download the mail order form, fill it out, and mail it in. And don't forget to mark your calendars. D-Star CUSO Party 2013 is coming up next month, September 20th through 22nd. Here's your invitation to the biggest D-Star CUSO Party. Talk to the world by connecting through D-Star repeaters around the globe. 10 lucky winners are going to take home some great prizes this year. Get your gear now and be ready for the biggest D-Star party in the world. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's Buy Direct program.
Man, that's going to be fun. You want to go to icomamerica.com/hamnation for all the information on the ICOM Buy Direct program. While you're there, enter the weekly drawing for ICOM swag like T-shirts and hats. And check out the details on ICOM's monthly grand prize drawing. Yes, you can win a free ICOM radio. It's icomamerica.com/hamnation. All the official rules are there. Check out all the ICOM previous drawing winners, and we hope to see your name on there soon. Sign up and good luck. Now, George has information on the radio. But, George, listen, all the swag and stuff, I want to show you some swag that I picked up while I was in Huntsville. I better not mention his name because he'll probably get inundated with requests for this. Look what I got. I got a Comet beer glass. Isn't that nice?
Did it
life
come
is
full?
A journey. Enjoy the ride. There you go. So here's to you, my friend. Enjoyed our time together in Huntsville, by the way. Tell us about the ICOM radio.
Yeah, it was great to see you and everyone else in Huntsville this past weekend, Don. Yeah, for this month, ICOM has given away another ID-51A. That's the VHF-UHF dual-band handheld with D-Star. And if you'll enter the swag contest after each episode of Ham Nation, you'll be registered to win that. And the drawing will be at the end of the month, and we'll see who gets this month's ID-51A. It's a great radio, and you'd really be set up for the D-Star CUSO party with that. Well, for the last 2 weeks, you know, I've been building a tuner here, the MFJ-941EK tuner kit, and this week we're going to test it and do the calibration on it. For the last couple of weeks on Smoke and Solder, we've been building the MFJ-941EK HF Antenna Tuner Kit. This week, we're going to do the final testing and calibration. So there's a few items we're going to need. A 100-watt radio with an adjustable RF output, an accurate watt meter, and they suggest a bird with a 100H slug. I don't have a bird, wish I did, but what I do have is the MFJ Deluxe True Peak Reading SWR watt meter, which we'll use this as our reference standard, a porcelain or plastic light socket with a pigtail attached, and a 40-watt incandescent appliance bulb. What I've got is a 40-watt clamp-on light here with a reveal bulb in it, so we'll hope that'll work out. We need an insulated straight blade tuning tool to set the trim pots and trim cap in here, and I've got a little tweaker here. And we're going to need some PL259 patch cables, 3 foot or shorter, and I've got those here. And we'll need a volt ohmmeter, and I've got that as well. The first thing we should do is check for loose hardware and tighten any connections as needed, and inspect the turns on the coils here to make sure none of them are shorted, as well as the two capacitors here. I have already done all that, and everything looked good there. We confirm that both our meters are resting on zero, and they are. And we confirm that all the knob pointers are in the correct positions, and they are. And check to be sure that the push button switches do actually push on and off. The first test here is the meter lamp test. That's simple enough. We take the supplied cable here, hook it to 12 volts, plug it into the power connector on the rear of the unit, and be certain that the meter light does come on when we turn it on. Now the next test involves checking out the RF switching here in the bypass mode. I'll use the old Simpson 260 here for this test. We're going to put it on R times 1. First, I'm going to connect to the transmit lead. That's that one right there. I could connect it in the back. I'm just going to use an alligator clip. And we want to check it to the dummy load. So I'll turn the switch all the way over to dummy load. I'll touch the meter here to the dummy load connector. And we got continuity there and in none of the other positions. The next one we'll check is the balance line wire. So we'll put it on the terminal down here marked wire. And we have continuity there when we flip it to that position. The next ones we'll check are coax 1 and coax 2. Coax 1, when we're in that position, we've got continuity. We'll move on to coax 2. And we have continuity in the coax 2 position, so our switching is working okay. Now, we'll want to check the tuned side of the switch here. What we'll do is connect to the stator here on the antenna capacitor. The stator is this side right here, the one that does not move. And there, on dummy load, we have continuity and nowhere else. So we'll check the balanced wire, and we have continuity only in that position. We'll check coax 1 and coax 2. There's coax 1. And coax 2 is good, too. So all our switching is working right, both in the tuned and in the bypass modes there. We'll want to check our balun here that's used for balanced lines. That's simple enough to do. Basically, all we do is measure across the two terminals for the balanced line. And we've got continuity there. Now we'll move on to the power meter calibration. We want to be sure that we do not turn the antenna selector switch or the inductor switch while power is applied to the tuner here, because you could damage something. And that's a rule that should be observed anytime you're using this tuner. We'll need to connect this gear in the method shown here, the transmitter into the tuner, from the tuner to our external watt meter, and then on to the dummy load. So I'm going to connect the meter here to coax 1. And I'll connect my transceiver here to the transmitter input. Now, this meter requires power to work. That's because there's an active circuit in there for true peak reading. So I'll hook my 12 volts up to the meter here so that it's functional. Now, we shouldn't place our hands near any of the components in here while we've got the transmitter energized, because you could get a nasty little burn. And the first thing we'll do is set the forward power setup and bridge null. So we'll tune our radio to 14.200 and select the CW mode. And we'll set the antenna selector switch here on bypass to coax 1. We'll set our meter here to 300 watts. And we should apply 100 watts power into the tuner now. Here's 100 watts being applied to the unit. We're showing 100 back here on our reference meter. We're way over that up here on the tuner meter. So what we need to do is turn down R8 here to bring that into range and set it at 100 watts. No matter how I turn R8 here, I cannot get it down to where it reads 100 watts. The next step says to watch the reflected power meter and adjust the trimmer capacitor back here for a null reading. And that's going to have some effect on the power readings, too. And I would call that null right there. You notice that the power reading did come down. So now we'll set it for 100 watts. And we want to be careful when we're doing this that we don't leave our rig keyed up too long. They're not made for continuous duty like that. So kind of take it easy on the rig. So we've got the first setting done there, and we've nulled out the capacitor as well. Now we need to reduce the power of the transmitter down to 20 watts. We'll change our range switch here to the 30-watt scale, and it's pegged out as well. So we'll adjust R7 until we've got a 20-watt reading. And we're not able to get it down to 20 watts. Now, I was looking at it wrong. We don't set it for 20 watts down here. When we've got the button in here, we're reading off the top scale, so 200 up here would actually be 20 watts right there. And now the reflected power calibration. I don't have any dummy loads that I know have certain amounts of reflected power to check this with. Fortunately, MFJ has come up with a real clever way to do this. What we'll do is just reverse our cables. That's right. We'll connect the antenna to the transmit lead, and we'll connect the transmit to the coax 1 lead.
Shazam!
So this time we go to the 300 watt position, which is in, and we apply 20 watts. I'm showing 20 watts there on my reference meter, and we'll adjust R6 to where we're showing 20 watts of reflected power here. That'll be the scale going this way. And that's 20 watts right there. Now we'll reduce the power to 5 watts. That's as low as I can go, and the reference meter back here is showing about 7 watts. So we'll match that. We've got to come back out to the 30 watt position and adjust R5 here to set this to 7 watts. So now our meter should be calibrated. Now we'll check out the T-network. We've got our antenna and our meter and load hooked back up correctly. We'll set our range switch to 300, which is in. We'll turn our antenna selector here to the tune side to coax 1 so that our tuner is in circuit. We'll set our inductor switch to J. And we'll set both our capacitors, the transmitter and the antenna here, to 0. And now we'll begin applying power very low and gradually increase it up to 100 watts. We can verify if this is working by adjusting either of these capacitors. We should see the reflected power go up. Actually, we're not seeing much change in the reflected power there on the reference meter. And that's because of where it's located in the circuit. Let's try the same thing with the antenna tuning capacitor now. And we've got the same result. Reflected power is changing. So we know that worked. Now let's change the inductor. We'll unkey the rig because we don't want to turn the inductor while the rig is keyed up. We can see when we rekey that we have a higher reflected power now. So that tells us that the T-network is working. Now we have one final test here, and that is the balance line check. And that's where we need our 40-watt incandescent bulb. To do this, the first thing we need to do is connect a jumper from the wire terminal up to the balance line terminal right above it. There's our jumper. And now we'll connect the light bulb across the two balance line terminals here. As we start applying power, we see the light bulb starting to light up. Let's try to reduce the reflected power here. Now, I'll turn off the power and we'll try the inductor in a different position. There we go. We can get it down to about 0. All tested and tuned up and ready to go. All we need to do now is put the cover on top. So there we have it. The MFJ941EK VersaTuner 2 Antenna Tuner Kit. It went together real easy and looks to be made out of decent components. So I would say for the price, you can't go wrong with this. That was a great kit, a lot of fun, and I encourage you, if you'd like to know how a tuner works or you need a tuner, go to mfjenterprises.com and get you a 941EK kit. Great little tuner. And, you know, Bob, I missed you and Gordo in Huntsville this week, but we had a great time there.
I wish I could have been there, but one of those things, we just have way too many things to do and too many weekends. We're headed to Joplin this weekend, but you had a lot of fun, didn't you?
Oh, we had a great time. Met a lot of friends there and a lot of new friends as well. I met Roger from RNL for the first time, and he said he felt like he already knew me. And I said, but from watching the videos, and I said, well, you really do. If you've watched the videos, you know, you'd pretty much know me and Bob and Gordo. We're all about the same in person as we are on the big screen or the little screen. Well, I got something to give away here. Go ahead.
You met one great guy in Roger. He's a super guy and a good dealer, RNL in the Cincinnati area. So, yeah, good guy. What are you giving away? What are you doing?
Well, as a matter of fact, I've got one of Bob's shoes right here, and the other prize just hit the floor. But this is a size 10 Converse high top with a Heil Sound logo right here on the side. And I had asked a question last week, if a tuner has two components to it, what design is it most likely to be? And I got an answer from David, WB5NHL, and he said it's an L network. So congratulations, David. I hope you wear a size 10 because these are coming your way. For next week, I've got a question here. When a scope is connected to an RF sample of an AM transmitter, what are three parameters that can be observed? And if I'll bend down here on the floor, this is what you'll win. A copy of Morse Code, Breaking the Barrier, Dave Finley's book on getting your Morse code speed up, courtesy of MFJ. If you'd like to win this, then answer that question for me and send your answer to hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and I could be announcing your name next week. Cheryl, have we got any questions in the chat room this week? I know we do.
Hi there, George. How are you? Nice job on Smoke and Solder, and your giveaways are terrific, too. And good evening to Bob and Gordo and Don Wilbanks, and also to Dale. And, of course, I want to mention our famous chat roomers. Thanks for typing with me tonight. Yes, there are a couple questions in here. As a matter of fact, there's one that's right up on in here for you from the bottom of the chat room. It looks like AC2BA. That would be Dave. He says, where did George buy his insulated screwdriver? Your answer?
Well, that's called an alignment tool, and you can get them from most any electronics shop. The one I had there was plastic all the way at the end, though. It had just a tiny piece of metal in there so that it wouldn't break off like plastic will. But just check around some electronics shops and online for alignment tools, and you'll find them.
Okay, then. Perfect. And just one lagging question that I had to bring up for you because I thought it was kind of cute. There was someone named Duper in the chat room. He says, is that a zip tie holding on your pencil eraser, George? Is that a zip tie? I'm not sure which one that he was mentioning, but it was from last week's show, so I just didn't get a chance to mention it. So is that true?
He's very observant. Yes, that is a zip tie. You know, any good electrical engineer would use a zip tie when his eraser won't stay on.
There you go. Of course, of course. Oh, and there's Gordo laughing. So you're on the hot seat next there. Hi, Gordo. How are you?
Hi there, Cheryl. Good to see you.
And likewise, you're looking good tonight. Here's one from VK2JI. His name is Ed. And he says, does the training material that you were talking about earlier cover the EMR, the electromagnetic radiation, level measuring, and dangers?
Well, I'm very happy to report that the new technician class question pool, which takes effect next July, will have added questions, I believe, on EMR, electromotive radiation, as well as safety tips. Yes, our current instructor guides that folks can get talk about being safe around RF, and our instructor guides lead you to the technician class book. And in my book, next year, we'll have even more for operator safety around radio waves. You betcha, Cheryl.
Excellent. You know, I always say safety, safety, safety. There can never be too much of that. You know what I'm talking about here. We always want you to stay safe, healthy, and come back and do some more. So, and then there's another one here, Gordo, that's a legacy trailing one from last week here, KF7ONS. He says, any idea what Gordo used to isolate the cigarette lighter charger from the high current HF? That was from your last week segment.
Okay, well, what I use is the intermediate battery, this one from Day Saver, and that battery absorbs the current pull from the HF transceiver into the car's cigarette lighter. So even though I may be pulling 8 to 10 to 15 amps on voice transmit, the cigarette lighter only sees about 2 or 3 lazy amps of current pull to recharge the rechargeable battery as a buffer battery.
Oh, cool. Interesting, interesting. And to all of you, there is a comment from the chat room from KD2BWC. He said hi to me, and he says, please let George, Don, and Ray know that it was great and so great to meet them on his first real big ham fest. And thanks to all at the folks for Huntsville for organizing an amazing weekend. And he just missed his extra, but I did come away with a IC7200 to make up for his disappointment on the test. So he'll be there next year. And he's a Brit in Brooklyn, and he says 73. And that was John KD2BWC who wanted you guys to know that. and also, here's one question. KC9UDA. Hello, Tom. Thank you for your questions. Looks like he says he's getting in the morning some buzzing in his HF radio. And he has all the filters on. And is there a filter that he can put in line with the coax before I go outside with a chainsaw, he says, to cut down the power pole? But I wanted to just make a quick comment before I think I'm going to pass this to you, George. During the morning, the dew and moisture is very prevalent, as we all know. And you'll notice that your power company has insulators on their pole, which may be possibly leaking or arcing. Mm-hmm. When it gets warmer and it dries up, does it stop? That's the main thing. And I don't have any other ideas other than that. So, George, we'll start with you. I want to do a multiple-person answer on this. So, George, you're first up.
Well, I think Gordo will probably have the best answer, but I'm going to throw mine out there anyway. Use the noise blanker on your radio and see if that will help. It may or may not. It depends on, I guess, the pulse width of the noise. But you can get a device from MFJ and probably other places that'll help you snoop out and find what's arcing out there. And if you can identify it and tell the power company, maybe you could get a resolution from them. But some things like that you just can't filter out, especially by putting something in the coax. Gordo, what is the real answer?
I absolutely agree with you, George. There's no magic filter that would go in coax. MFJ does make some good DF sniffers for tracing it to those arcing power line insulators that Cheryl talked about. Plus, I like one of the MFJ products that receives the noise and puts it 180 degrees out of phase with the signal. Huh. Although the signals sound rough, the noise is a lot less. But the cure is rain. Wait till a good rain washes those insulators clean, and then you'll have much better reception, or a dry morning without all the humidity arcing the insulators. No magic filter, Cheryl. Sorry.
But you don't think using the chainsaw is a good idea?
That is.
Well, at one time, I got to say, we had an antenna that really wasn't up to par until we got to the mystery antenna that we're using. And a certain party, which will remain unnamed, and he knows who he is, says, I think you should get a chain and hook that antenna up to the chain and hook it to the bumper of your truck or car and pull it off the property. So we don't have that antenna anymore, just say the least. And I won't even say the name of that antenna either, but we do use the W5GI mystery antenna. So, one other thing I just wanted to say, thank you, Bob, for your phone call on this past Sunday. We appreciate that. However, the phone I was talking to you on, I could barely hear you, and I apologize for that and wanted you to know how much you were appreciated taking your time out of your day to do that at that little 3850 get-together we had. So, thank you for that. And there was another question that KC9UDA Tom had, but Don is not connected at this point because they only have so many live feeds that they can do. You are good, perfect.
Yeah, Bob lost his internet connection, so they call me back, and here I am.
Oh, good, good. Because Tom asked, where did you get that shirt from? You really must like it. So I didn't know you'd still be able to answer. So go ahead.
Which shirt? The Ham Nation shirt? This one here?
Must be.
I got this from Mr. Heil.
Oh, yeah. It's a nice, nice color.
Yeah.
I didn't get
it's the
one.
Ham Nation 100th episode shirt. That's where I got this.
I didn't get one. Did you get one, Cheryl? No. I didn't get one.
That's because you're not one of the beautiful people.
I wanted pink.
You should have got one, Gordo. Look at those handsome devils on there.
That's right. That's right. I think, Gordo, look, you're on here somewhere. Which one's you? You're on here somewhere. I don't know. You're upside down.
Oh,
there you are. You're on the H. You're on the H for ham.
I have a goatee.
Like that autofocus, by the way. And one other thing is they wanted to know during that little video that you did in the studio there, Don, they wanted to know why you weren't playing the guitar at all. No guitar?
No, yeah. I didn't have one with me. Actually, Eddie had his, but I can spell guitar correctly 3 out of 5 times on a good day. And that's the extent of my I'm more of a guitar owner than a player. I just need to make time to practice. It's not fine time because the time is there. I just need to make time. So, no, I'm more of an owner than a player for some odd reason. So that's why. Okay. But Eddie is so good. And he's in the Country Radio Hall of Fame this year. And awfully proud to have him as a guy. He's been my friend for like 25 years. So he's a good guy.
And thank you, Don, for your amateur radio newsline tonight and announcing the Young Ham of the Year Award. That's very important and very nice work you did there. So,
thanks.
Anyway.
It's a huge honor for me to do that. Huge honor for me to do that.
Yeah, looking good with the crew up there. You did a great job. So, anyway, I just want to say 73s to everybody. And thanks for watching and joining us and letting us come into your home or iPod or whichever for Ham Nation. So we'll catch you on the airwaves and we'll see you here next week. And fair winds and free seas and following next will be Gordo. I want to send it to you. Bye, Bob. Take care.
Great job. And over my shoulder is the Amateur Television Network. We're going to hear more from Don KE6BXT about the DATV QSO party a week from this coming weekend coming up. So they're watching, too, and they give me a thumbs up. Thanks, Dan KB6NU, for your weekly ham hints. And now, Bob, back to you.
Well, I guess it's back to me because Bob's internet failed on him. So,
okay.
They called me back to wrap things up. But, Bob, thank you for all you do for Ham Radio. We certainly appreciate this. There wouldn't be a Ham Nation without Bob Heil, K9E Eddie, that's for sure. And Dale, thank you for everything you do. All your video stuff is awesome. And George, of course, with Smoke and Solder. Any final words tonight, George?
Well, you should catch some of the nets here after the show tonight. You can go to EchoLink, star do drop in star or node number 355-800 and check in there, or on D-Star you can check in on reflector 14 module C. And I know the 20 meter net tonight, I believe I saw it's going to be on 14.264. Gordo, where's the 40 meter net?
72.78, and they're getting warmed up right now. I hear them in the background.
Yeah.
On 40 meters, 72-78 kilohertz.
That's awesome.
I told you they were there.
Everybody watching Ham Nation live on Twitch, come join us on 40 tonight on 7.278. Stand
there
by.
There you go.
Whiskey Tango.
And of course, for a lot more on Ham Nation, check out the wiki pages. You can find that at wiki.twit.tv and just search for Ham Nation, or go to the Ham Nation page, twit.tv/HN, and go to the wiki. Dan Van Evenhoven takes care of that, and we appreciate all of his efforts. So for everyone involved with Ham Nation, this is empty, which means it must be, well, it's not empty. Ooh, that's cold. Must be time to go. So 7-3 all from me and Gordo and Bob and George and Dale and everybody else, Cheryl and even Amanda in absentia. We love you guys for watching, and 7-3 from all of us here at Ham Nation. Good night.